Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word, for the story of how your son was born. God, that you caused that to be recorded down so that we would know it. God, I pray that you would take these words and bring them alive to us, God, that we might know you more, that we might love you more, that we might follow you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you can relate to this experience. Someone close to you does something terrible, and you're flooded with emotions. You're hurt, you're furious, you feel betrayed, and you don't know what to do. You know what you want to do. You want to lash out. On one level, you really want to make the other person hurt for the hurt that they caused you. But then on the other level, you know that that's your anger speaking, and you don't want to act out of anger. You love this person, so you don't want to hurt them. But then why did they hurt you? In the end, you want to do the right thing. But what is the right thing? Go on like nothing happened? Make that person feel some of the pain they caused you? End the relationship? Just let them suffer the consequences of their actions, no matter how dire? And then there's the whole God aspect. Why would God let this happen to you? Haven't you always tried to do the right thing and please God with your life? Has God forgotten you? What could possibly be his purpose in all of this? And is God going to help you sort out what you should do? Or are you just all on your own on this? All of these thoughts and feelings swirl in your mind over and over as you try to figure out your next step. Welcome to the world of Joseph of Nazareth, a young carpenter engaged to be married to Mary, a sweet peasant girl from Nazareth. Everything was going well. Joseph and Mary were betrothed, meaning that they were already legally bound together, but they're not supposed to have marital relations until the actual wedding. And then everything comes crashing down. Mary is pregnant. That would be absolutely wonderful news if it had happened just a few months later, after they had been legally married and consummated the marriage. Then he and the whole community would have been overjoyed. But this was devastating. And of course, people were beginning to talk. There were whispers of Mary clinging to some far-fetched tale of it being the Holy Spirit's baby. But who could believe that? Most people probably assumed that Joseph just couldn't wait for the marriage to be official. Joseph didn't know what to think. All he knew was that the baby wasn't his. And the Holy Spirit theory, she told him, didn't hold a lot of water for him either. How gullible did she think he was, anyways? Her crazy story just seemed to add insult to injury. But why would Mary make up such a story? Joseph was full of emotions and confusion, but overall, as someone who was known to be a righteous man, he wanted to do the right thing by God, the right thing by Mary, the right thing by the law, and the right thing by his own heart. If he publicly divorces her for being unfaithful, which was the correct legal course of action, it would have fatal consequences for Mary. She and her unborn child would be stoned to death. But how could he stay with her when she had so betrayed him? Finally, after considering it over and over, the solution came to him. He would not accuse her of unfaithfulness. He would divorce her quietly, and by doing that, he would save her life. Yes, this was the right thing to do by Mary. He realized, though, that this course of action would make him look bad. He would suffer public shame. He knew he was innocent in the whole situation, but others didn't. Some people would know that she was pregnant, assume it was his, and think he was so cruel to sleep with her, and then discard her as damaged goods. What a jerk people would think he was. He had a reputation for being righteous, and of course, this would be the end of that reputation. His good name would be tarnished forever. But Joseph had studied what the prophets had written about righteousness, and he knew that this idea of compassionate justice was important to God. If he wanted to be righteous before God, he knew that he needed to be compassionate. The solution he had come up with resonated with his desire to please God. That he, as the innocent one, would sacrifice his reputation to save the guilty person whom he loved. Better he be shamed in order to save Mary's life. It just felt like something that God would do, or that God would want him to do. Finally, a solution he felt good about, a course of action to follow. Having a plan might calm his swirling thoughts that had kept him up nights. Finally, a chance to sleep. So Joseph goes off to sleep that night, feeling more settled than he had ever been since he'd heard the news. And then, in his dream, he sees an angel of the Lord, and this angel has a message for him. A message that totally reverses his plan of action. The angel tells him to take Mary as his wife. This was a solution that obviously had occurred to Joseph. It also would have caused him public scorn if people did the math. But more importantly, he just couldn't get over the sense of betrayal from her being unfaithful to him. Not just betrayal, but a wondering if he'd ever really known her. She had seemed to have such an admirable character, but this act called into question everything he thought he knew about her. How could he go through with the marriage with this betrayal of trust and disillusionment regarding her character? But the angel reverses all of that by actually confirming Mary's story. The miraculous, impossible to believe story that the child was somehow conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary had been telling the truth. She hadn't betrayed him after all. Joseph's first response was of great relief. He'd been praying for guidance from God, and here it was, with an angel of the Lord appearing to him in a dream, telling him exactly what to do. And relief that Mary hadn't betrayed him. She hadn't been unfaithful, and she hadn't lied to him with that crazy story. Joseph felt a huge weight lift off his shoulders. But soon after, that sense of relief subsided, and he was hit with the full magnitude of what the angel had said. This angelic visit was not simply an answer to the predicament that was troubling him. The angel was telling him the most amazing news. After many, many years of the Jewish people not hearing anything from God, no prophets, no angelic visitations, no rescue from oppression from the Romans, the angel was saying that God was on the move again. That God, through the Holy Spirit, had conceived a son that was to be called Jesus, which means God saves, and that this son would be a savior to God's people. For those of you who have seen those iPhone 6 commercials, you know, that talks about how huge it is, this was even huger than an iPhone 6. And I like iPhones. This was big news for the Jewish people. Life-changing, world-changing news. And then even more of a realization came to him as to how huge this was for him personally. His Mary was the mother of this child who will save his people. If he took her as his wife, like the angel was telling him to do, it meant he would be the human father to God's son. He would help raise God's son, train him in the Jewish traditions, and try to be a loving father to him. What an incredible honor, but what an incredible responsibility. We've got to admire Joseph's response. A lesser man might have run away from this responsibility or collapsed in fear over the pressure of trying to be a perfect father given that it was God's own son he would be raising. He could have disguised his fear by choosing to continue to doubt Mary's story, maybe by dismissing the angel's message as just a dream that his subconscious had concocted in order to resolve this dilemma. I know there are times when I think I've heard from God and I've noticed my brain start doing double time, trying to convince myself that it wasn't from him and trying to discount what I've heard to save myself from the challenge of disobedience, the challenge of obedience. And then I recognize what I'm doing. If I think I've heard from God and I try to discount what God has said, I'm rejecting God and actively choosing against him. Never a good idea. Joseph recognized that this call came from the Lord, and so when he awoke from his sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He bravely moved forward, disregarding what other people would think of him and the shame that would come to him. He bravely obeyed, taking on the huge responsibility of raising God's son, who would ultimately be the savior of his people and all the people of the earth. In the days to come, Joseph may have reflected back on this turning point in his life. When he had felt betrayed by Mary and forgotten by God, the reality was that God had chosen him for the greatest honor. As Adam Hamilton writes in The Journey, at that very moment, when Joseph felt at his lowest, God was at work in Mary's womb, doing the greatest thing God had done since the creation of the human race. God was orchestrating the birth of the Savior. God was also inviting Joseph to play a critical part in his plan. God had an incredible purpose for Joseph that Joseph couldn't see at the time when the situation looked so bleak. God was actually at the center of the very events that Joseph believed indicated that God didn't care about him. Joseph may have reflected on how this had been true for him in the past, how God had not forgotten him in the dark times, but it had instead used those dark times to bring about amazing growth or to bring about a larger purpose. Joseph could have reflected on how the same thing had been true throughout Scripture, how God was always at work, even when nobody realized it. God had not forgotten his people when they were slaves in Egypt, but had raised up Moses to save his people. He might have remembered so many of the Psalms, which reflect on those times when things seemed dark, only to be followed with thanksgiving for how God had come through in the situation. Joseph was reminded again that trusting God did not mean the absence of trouble. It did not mean that he would be spared of heartache and challenges. But he realized that even through the heartaches and the challenges, trusting God means recognizing that God's character is good and that God is faithful. That God forgets no one. That even in the darkest of times, and often through the darkest of times, God is at work bringing about good things. He realized how often we can only understand God's goodness and purposes in hindsight. This may have been a turning point for Joseph, where he resolved going forward to remember this event and let it remind him to invite God into the hard times of life, to remind himself of this time when his understanding of what was going on was so different from what was actually going on in the bigger picture, to realize that when he was feeling most forgotten, that he was actually at the very forefront of God's mind, to remember that God is faithful and is sovereign and can be trusted. He hoped that next time when he was faced with a seemingly impossible dilemma, he would recognize his limits to control and change the situation, and he would turn it over to God instead of spending sleepless nights feeling like it was all up to him to resolve. This remembrance would prompt him to pray, acknowledging both his helplessness and God's goodness, and seeking God's guidance for his next step. Even if the answer didn't come in the form of an angelic message, he would seek to continue to respond in obedience to whatever God showed him, challenging though it might be. And then from there, he would try to wait patiently for how God would show up, recognizing God's timing doesn't always coincide with his own. As we hear again Joseph's story, maybe we can be reminded of these same things. That even though we may feel forgotten, feelings aren't facts. And the fact is that God holds each one of us in his affection and in his attention. That God yearns for us to know that he loves us and yearns for us to trust his love even in the most difficult times, even when we feel most forgotten. He longs for us to turn to him in prayer, pouring out our most honest thoughts and feelings, knowing that he's big enough and compassionate enough to handle them. He calls us to wait on him, to wait patiently on his timing, believing that he will give us the guidance we need, trusting that he is good and that he can bring something beautiful out of even the darkest situation. God promises that each one of us, insignificant as we may feel, has a part to play in the work of redemption that Jesus Christ, who was born so long ago to Joseph and Mary, began through his life, death, and resurrection. The beautiful news we celebrate this Advent is that no one is forgotten. No one is insignificant. No one is without a purpose. May God help us internalize these great truths that we might live by them and then communicate them to others through our words and through our actions. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for the incredible good news of Jesus' birth. And for this reminder that it was not neat and pretty. God, it was messy. Joseph was confused, disappointed, felt forgotten, abandoned by God. And yet God was doing an amazing thing. God, may we remember that when we're going through hard times, when we're going through troubling situations, God, may we look to you. May we recognize that you love us, that you have not forgotten us, that you are still at work, and that you are working out your purposes in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.